Chelek Yud, Parshas Lech Lecha, Sicha Aleph. Our Sicha this week is about Birchas Kohanim, about Bracha and Tefillah. Wait, you might say, isn't it about Avraham? And indeed, it is. Through Avraham, Hashem brought out a new element of blessing into this world, where Avraham would now be able to bless others, where previously only Hashem could bless. In our Parsha, in the third pasuk, Hashem tells Avraham, "Va'avarcha mevarachecha, I will bless those who bless you." In a discussion in the Tractate of Chulin, a tractate that deals with non-consecrated meat of the Karbanis and with the halachas of Basar v'Cholav, right in the midst of a discussion about a ruptured abomasum, one of the four stomachs of a behema, and whether or not it is kosher for the Kohanim to use, we find Rabbi Shmuel of the opinion that this meat is permitted to the Kohanim. And the Mishnah follows, teaching a mnemonic that reflects upon how Rabbi Shmuel would be always particular about helping the Kohanim. The mnemonic, Yishmol Kohana, Masayea Kohane, Yishmol the Kohen, watches out for and helps the Kohanim. The Mishnah continues that the Gemara will clarify through a brisa that the words in Parshas Nosei, Perek Vov, Pasuk Chav Gimel, where we have the instruction of Birchas Kohanim to Aaron and his sons, Kois Varachu Es Bnei Yisrael, so you shall bless the children of Israel, is expounded upon by Rabbi Shmuel in the following way. We learn from this pasuk about a blessing for the nation, but we haven't learned a blessing for the Kohanim themselves. Thus, the words that follow, V'somu Eshmiel B'nei Yisrael, Va'ani Avarachem, must be, says Rabbi Shmuel, about the Kohanim. The Kohanim bless the nation, and Hashem, Ani Avarachem, blesses the Kohanim. The Mishnah then continues, but Rabbi Akiva, says the Mishnah, learns this differently. Rabbi Akiva learns that Ani Avarachem means that the Kohanim bless the nation and Hashem agrees with them, that Hashem affirms their blessing, that the bracha for the Kohanim, in Rabbi Akiva's opinion, is from the words from this week's Parsha, Va'avarcha, Va'avarcha Mevarachecha, I will bless those who bless you. And so the Gemara expounds upon this, asking, since Rabbi Akiva concedes that the Kohanim are also blessed, just as Rabbi Shmuel says that the Kohanim are blessed, in what sense does Rabbi Shmuel seem to be more particular about helping the priests, the Kohanim? And the Gemara explains that Rabbi Shmuel establishes that the bracha for the Kohanim comes from the same place, the same pasuk, where we find the bracha for the nation, in Parshas Nosei. In other words, they, the Kohanim, receive the same bracha as the nation. Rashi's commentary on this thought, where the nation receives its blessing, the Kohanim receive their blessing along with the others. Why is there a disagreement between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? On what basis do they have these differing opinions? And for what reason do they differ? Why does Rabbi Akiva see a need for another verse? The words, V'avarcha mevarachecha. Why does Rabbi Akiva explain that those are the words that show, that indicate that Hashem blesses the Kohanim? And he explains the words V'ani Avarachem to mean that Hashem agrees with the brachas the Kohanim bless the Jews with. Rabbi Shmuel sees these words differently and doesn't need to explain them as God agreeing with a bracha given by the Kohanim. And why does Rashi, in commenting on the Mishnah and the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, explain it as they are blessed together with the others, together with Bnei Yisrael. It would seem that the difference in opinion between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva is about where we learn that the Kohanim receive blessing. We learn it either in Lech Lecha, with the words, V'avarcha mevarachecha, I will bless those who bless you, or in Parshas Nasai, when Hashem instructs Moshe to speak to Aaron and his sons and teach them to bless the nation. This very question, whether the bracha to the Kohanim is found in V'avarcha mevarachecha or in the words V'ani avarachem, is explained in Chassidus via discussion regarding the difference between prayer and blessing. The idea of bracha, blessing, is understood as a deep well or pit of water or wine from where the water or wine can be constantly drawn. To further understand this, the etymology of the word bracha is akin to the word hamavrich. Hamavrich is a term used in the Tractate of Kilayim, the tractate where the details of the prohibitions of grafting and crossbreeding of plants and animals is discussed. Hamavrich is a term used to describe a process of bending a branch of a vine that has already produced fruit and is no longer, forcing it to take root in the ground to produce new vines. The connection here to the idea of bracha is the process of hamshacha, the drawing down from an already existent source, which has for one reason or another ceased to flow. To bless someone is to renew the flow from that source. When Yaakov, for example, before his passing, blessed Yosef's sons, he crossed his right hand over to reach onto the head of Ephraim, the younger son, and he crossed his left hand over onto the head of Manasseh, the elder son. Yosef attempted to correct the order of blessing, saying to his father, "But this one," meaning Manasseh, "is the elder." To which Yaakov answered, "Yodaiti b'ni, I know my son, and he too will become a people, but his younger brother will be greater than him." And Rashi describes the future that Yaakov knew was to be Ephraim's. Because bracha isn't a new energy, but rather a drawing down of an existent energy, we can't ask why didn't Yaakov just make Manasseh greater. Manasseh was blessed from an existent well, as was Ephraim. Now, tefillah is different. Tefillah is bakasha, request from God. When we are mispalo, we ask of Hashem with a yihi ratzin, may it be Hashem's will, a new will. It isn't a prayer for something that already exists in its source. For this reason, when one is, God forbid, in a difficult matzav, where there seems to be a negative decree, the prayer is that Hashem transforms that negative to good, making a new metzias. Tefillah transcends the order of drawing something down from a higher world or spiritual sphere to our earthly domain. But this limitation that we talk about in bracha is only a limitation on a basar v'dam, on a human being. In Hashem's unlimited blessing, the quality of prayer, bringing forth a new energy, exists, an energy that is not already existent in the root and source of the one who is seeking blessing. If I may, I'd like to share that yesterday on my family's broader WhatsApp, we were sharing news of the coming month, birthdays, etc. Eventually, a great nephew is having a bar mitzvah, and this came round to that child's bris, where my father, Olav HaShalom, had fabringed this brought us further into a mini farbringen on our WhatsApp, and somebody shared a mina from the Rebbe, an answer from the Rebbe, that the Rebbe had answered my father, who had written in about a couple who had suffered a miscarriage after my father had asked for a bracha on their behalf. The Rebbe writes and gives some clarification or clarity to what took place for this couple. And one of the points that the Rebbe makes is as follows, and I'll say it in the Rebbe's words and I'll translate, and then I'll explain. The pair, the couple, shachachu shahashem hu mekor habracha. They forgot that Hashem is the source of blessing in all that He gives. Ubotchu rak bivnei adam, and they put their faith only in a human being. Basar vadam, be in a human of flesh and blood, in me. When this mina, when this answer was shared, I was puzzled by the Rebbe's point. I didn't really understand what the point was that the Rebbe was making. After all, the Rebbe gives a bracha. But the Rebbe was making the point, and this is the point that we are making here at this point in the Sicha, that there is a Makor HaBracha, that a Basar Vadam, and I hesitate to refer to the Rebbe in this way, but the Rebbe did refer to himself in this way, actually saying, be in me, that they put their faith in me, forgetting that Hashem is the Makor HaBracha. Hashem is the source of blessing. In other words, the only place where blessing comes directly from its source, not from an already existent source in Seder Hishtalshelus, but from the very essence of source, that is bracha that comes from Hashem. Back to our sicha. And as it is in the unlimited blessings of Hashem, so it is in the blessings of the Kohanim. Berachas Kohanim is a mitzvah performed in the stewardship, in the shlichus of God. Shluchai shel Adam ha'elyoin, the messenger of the supernal man, God, has the power of the one who sends him and is kimoisei like him, bringing this unlimited blessing of God down to the nation. In fact, in the words of Birchas Kohanim, we find that Hashem favors us with blessing that transcends limitation. In the words of the bracha, Yisa Hashem ponov eilecha, Hashem will turn to you with favor. The Mishnah brings an interesting On these words, the Mishnah brings an interesting dialogue between Hashem and the Malachi Hashareis, the ministering angels. The discussion in the Mishnah is about how much one needs to eat for benching to be required, and that even if one eats and is not satisfied, one should bench. And the following dialogue is recorded. The Malachi Hashareis say to the Eibishter, you say in your Torah that God shows no favor to another and takes no bribes, yet you do show favor to Israel. And it says, referencing Parshas Nosai in the mitzvah Berchas Kohanim, Yisa Hashem panav eilecha v'yasim lecha shalom. Hashem will show favor to you and give you peace. Hashem responds to the Malachi Hashareis and says, V'chi lo yase ponim li Yisroel. How can I not show them favor? Look at this halacha and this Mishnah. Even when they're not satisfied, they make sure to bench. I, says Hashem, ask only that they bench after they're satisfied. V'achalta, v'savata, uvairachta. So they have no obligation to say grace after a meal if they're left unsatisfied. but they do anyway. These words, Yisa Hashem Ponavei Lecha, found in Birchas Kohanim, establish that something more is going on here, beyond the order of descending bracha from an existing source. So contrary to a time of judgment, when man is judged on the merit of his actions and prejudicial behavior or prejudiced behavior would not be permitted, prejudicing the judgment would not be permitted, Birchas Kohanim is dafka, a time of prejudice on God's part for his nation. This equates Birchas Kohanim and Tefillah, for both are drawing down from a source that transcends already existent blessing. All of this helps us understand why it makes a difference where the bracha for the Kohanim, God blessing the Kohanim, comes from, whether from V'ani Avarachim, the conclusion of the Birchas Kohanim, the instruction that was given to the Kohanim, to Aaron and his sons, to bless the nation with, or from Va'avorcha Mevorachecha, those who bless you will be blessed, as Hashem said in Parshas Lech Lecha to Avraham. Va'ani Avorachem indicates the Ani of Or Ein Sof, the very essence and source of the divine, a blessing from the essence of godliness, indeed beyond Hishtalshelus. On the other hand, V'avarcha Mevarachecha lacks the power of Ani, of I, God. It is set within the evolutionary descent of an already present divine energy. Hence the explanation that the same place where Birchas Kohanim is instructed, there the Kohanim receive their bracha from the Ani source of blessing from V'ani Avarachem. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmol. The question that arises, however, having said this, of course, is that the words V'avarcha Mevarachecha, I will bless those who bless you, in this week's Parsha, were also said directly by God. How do we then suggest that if the blessing comes, as Rabbi Akiva says, from this source, it's a lower source, that the lack of Ani, this word Ani, it shouldn't change the essential source? To clarify and respond to this, and ultimately to understand the real difference between V'ani Avarachem and V'avarcha Mevarachecha, the Rebbe takes us to a Gemara found at the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah that explains the following Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us as follows. Rabban Gamliel says that the Shliach Tzibur, the quorum leader, fulfills the obligation of prayer on behalf of the many. This is talking about Musaf, Rosh Hashanah, the lengthy prayer, and the suggestion that it can be fulfilled by the Shliach Tzibur on behalf of the community. That's the Mishnah. The Gemara comments on this Mishnah and says, Rabbi Shimon Chasida said that Rabban Gamliel is exempting even those who are not in shul, and certainly those who are in shul, from this obligation of Musaf Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara further comments, questioning this. Those who are unable to come to shul, the Shliach Tzibur certainly exempts. But why should those who are in shul be exempt from this prayer? Support for this position that the Gemara makes or takes comes from Abba Birya de Rav Binyamin Barchia, who brings an example of a halacha that is about Birchas Kohanim. The halacha is that those who stand behind the Kohanim at the time of Birchas Kohanim are not included in the bracha. They must come to stand in front of the Kohanim. Rashi explains this and says, even though those who don't come to shul because they can't are considered to be included in the bracha of the kohanim, those who can be in shul should be in front of the kohanim, and if they are not, they're not included in the bracha. But Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi explains Rabbi Shimon Hasida's words differently, saying that Rabbi Gamliel was not removing the obligation from those in shul, only those who could not be in shul, not those who could be in shul but were not there. In this Gemara, we find that the proof for the obligation of being present during the time of tefillah, and those who the Shliach Tzibur can, by his prayer, fulfill their obligation, is taken from the example and the obligation of those who are in shul for Birchas Kohanim. Now, the correlation isn't just a matter of similarities between these two discussions. It is, in fact, that at their essence, they are the same. Prayer generates a ratzon chadash, a new will within the source of will in God. And Birchas Kohanim is a time of favoritism in judgment. Again, the idea of a new will beyond Hishtalshelus. Generally, proof for a halacha on tefillah cannot be brought from blessing and applied to prayer, because they, bracha and tefillah, really aren't alike. Bracha is dependent on removing obstacles that may be a result of the behavior of an individual who is seeking blessing, because the blessing is already there and just needs to be brought down. And in this case, the individual seeking blessing needs to show up. Whereas prayer, tefillah, generating a new will within God, isn't determined by the one for whom we pray, who needs this blessing that comes as a result of prayer. So practically, this plays out in that if someone rejects a blessing, he doesn't receive the blessing. Those who stand behind the kohanim are indicating just that. Regarding prayer, though, rejecting a prayer doesn't necessarily distance the individual from the ratzon chadash, as the shliach tzibur can still activate this flow. And yet, because Birchas Kohanim and prayer are both generating a new will that transcends Seder Hishtalshelus, and for this reason they both require preparation on the part of the receivers. What is this preparation? The Hachana for prayer is Avodas HaTfilah, and the Hachana, the preparation for Birchas Kohanim, is the congregation positioning themselves both physically and spiritually before the kohanim, in front of the kohanim. The preparation is not in order to draw down the energy, but rather to become a vessel for this new will. And so in juxtaposing these two, proof for one can be brought from the other. And the fact that someone cannot be in shul, he is still covered by the blessing of the kohanim, but not one who can be in shul, or who is in shul and stands behind the kohanim. This hachana, this preparation that we mentioned, isn't about the preparation that the kohen makes in order to bless. And the preparation for prayer isn't about the shliach tzibur preparing himself, but rather the congregant who is present when the kohanim bless in order to receive and in a way to receive, and the one for whom the Shliach Tzibur leads, again, in order to receive. The Rebbe proposes that, in fact, though we say that they are equal, Birchas Kohanim has an additional quality and advantage over prayer, further supporting the position of the Gemara that proof for the position on prayer of the Shliach Tzibur can come from the example of Birchas Kohanim. And here is how. A Shliach Tzibur can only take on the prayer of those not in Shul if there are 9 others listening to him in Shul. Otherwise, he is just a Yachid, he is one, and he can't be Meitze those who are not in Shul because they are unable to be there. Birchas Kohanim, however, allows for as many as are present, even all who are present, if they are all Kohanim, they can all bless. And they can all bless all who aren't able to be in shul. So if the entire shul is made up of Kohanim and they bless, they are blessing everyone who is not in shul. So the Shliach Tzibur in prayer is only viable to exempt others if 9 more are with him. But the Kohen has no such limitations on his power to bless. Why is this so? What makes Birchas Kohanim loftier than prayer? Let's consider the following difference between prayer and regular blessing, considering how bracha has an advantage over prayer. Prayer is bakasha, it's request. Making a request doesn't guarantee fulfillment, because the request is not determined by the one who asks. The petitioner is lamata, below, and petitions that from above he be granted a specific request. Whereas the nature of bracha is different. It is that of a command or even a promise. And in this way, the unique nature of a bracha is stronger than a request, a prayer. So when we examine prayer in terms of the source of the flow, tefillah is loftier than blessing, than bracha. But when we examine prayer and blessing in terms of the nature of the action, the prayer or the one who blesses, blessing is stronger. When it comes to Birchas Kohanim, we observe that Birchas Kohanim has both of these attributes, the higher source of flow, like prayer, and the power to command bracha. And God listens, because this was Hashem's instruction, set into place by God. Accordingly, we can understand why the Shliach Tzibur requires the facilitation of 9 listeners. For prayer on its own is the act of reaching from below. Birchas Kohanim is originally sourced above, and thus the Kohen needs nothing to facilitate what is the will of God, because it is a predetermined blessing. The receiver still needs to become a receiver, however, even while the flow of blessing is assured through the Kohen. And certainly, the one who wants to participate in receiving the flow of response from prayer must be present to pray and cannot depend on the Shliach Tzibur. Possibly, this then is the source of the disagreement between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Is the position of the Kohen when blessing the nation one that is beyond Hishtalshelus or not? And thus the difference of opinion whether or not within the blessing of Birchas Koelim, the words Va'ani Avorachem, specifically tell us that Hashem agrees and affirms the blessing of the Kohanim, or does it tell us that this is where Hashem blesses the Kohanim? We discussed the fact that the reason Birchas Kohanim can draw down a new blessing higher than the flow source of blessing is because Hashem commanded the Kohanim to bless, and they do so in the stewardship of God. As God has no limitations, there are no limitations on the blessings given as shluchim of Hashem. Yet within this experience, there are two possible scenarios. One is that since ultimately it is a human being, a basar v'dam, who is speaking this blessing, a human who cannot humanly extend himself beyond the limitation of hishtalshalus, he requires a special energy in order to draw from beyond, so that what is facilitated is God's divine blessing. The other possibility is that because one does this as an emissary of God, he becomes essentially connected to God, and the power exists within the words of the blessing, thus transforming the Kohen beyond his own limitations. It would seem that according to Rabbi Akiva, the former scenario plays out. Birchas Kohanim is a blessing performed by a human being of flesh and blood and limitation, requiring God's affirmation of the words he speaks and the blessings he gives, so that they become God's blessing from a transcendent source. Rabbi Shmuel, on the other hand, the Kohen who looked out for, who helped the Kohanim, understood that the second scenario was the case at the time of Birchas Kohanim, that the Kohen became the conduit of transcendent blessing and needed no divine affirmation to facilitate this transcendence. Accordingly, Rabbi Akiva understood that the bracha to the Kohanim was a blessing from within Hishtalshalus, a place of limitation, as his understanding was that the Kohanim blessed from within the limitedness of their humanness, even while the blessing was from a transcendent source. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel, who understood differently, that the Kohanim were a conduit beyond limitation, having been charged with a mitzvah of blessing the nation, received their blessing from that same transcendent source of Ein Sof. Which in fact helps us to understand why indeed in the verse in our parsha where Hashem says to Avram, Vavarcha mevarachecha, and I will bless those who bless you, the word ani does not manifest in the pasuk. For indeed these words are from within the order of the evolutionary process of godliness in this world. When Hashem said to Avraham, Vavarcha mevarachecha, giving Avraham the opportunity and the ability to bless, Avraham remained, was, and was a conduit for blessing within the limitations of a basar v'dam. Whereas when Hashem charged the Kohanim to bless and said, Va'ani avarachem, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the understanding of Rabbi Shmuel is that this level of blessing, this is a level of transcendent blessing, and that the Kohen be himself becomes a conduit of transcendence.